Lord, we are in awe of you. Lord, you have done all for us. And Lord, what you have done is more than could be done any other way. There was no other way. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. And we thank you. And we praise you that you give us vision to see and ears to hear. Lord, we ask you that you would help us to draw close to you, to trust you in everything, in every step, whether they're steps of great difficulty or even small steps and small decisions, apparently small. Lord, you are about your business, your purpose, and it will be accomplished. We thank you and praise you. In your precious name we do pray. Amen. Our brother Ed says consistently when he speaks, we are totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit for understanding, and today is no exception. The Lord has stirred my heart in this matter of what is in John chapter 10. This is not the message, but sort of the background of it in John 10:10, where the Lord says, "I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly." And I've talked about that in the past, and what the Lord has stirred up in my heart over several issues has to do with us entering into that abundant life. And where the Lord has led me is not necessarily a place I wanted to go. I've never really had a fondness for the book of Galatians, but the Lord has stirred it up despite my lack of fondness. And a lot of expressions in there. I don't need to get into that. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, and I'm just amazed at these first few verses in chapter 1. You know, in my way of thinking, unfortunately, I tend to look at, well, the opening, he's just sort of getting us warmed up, you know. It's not really that important. But look at this. If you will read along with me, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. That's worth reading several times, and I hope you will. It is a powerful opening of this letter from the apostle to the Galatians. And I think it's very important I would like to say that right there the apostle has expressed the gospel. Okay? In very few words, he has expressed the gospel. The grace to you, peace from God our Father. How about that? Grace and peace from God, because he took on himself all our sin. that he might deliver us out of this present evil age. We do live in an evil age. Right now, today, and we think about it and we see how evil it is right now. But it was really evil back then too. And in between, there's been a lot of evil. The testimony has survived the evil of this world. And it is because the Lord Jesus has done it. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. According to, and this is God the Father's will for us. This is God's will that we would have, and I'm bringing this back to the abundant life, that we will have life abundant because he has done it. He has dotted every I and crossed every T. And so, the point of Galatians, I'm not as thorough or have not had as much time to be as thorough as our brother Ed in digging into all this, but the next verse, verse 6 of chapter 1, is really an amazing statement. And I believe the reason that the book is here, that it was saved and recorded, that the Holy Spirit kept it for us. Because he says, I am amazed. Paul is amazed that you, Galatians, are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. I suspect that the Galatians, when they read this, were stunned. What do you mean a different gospel? What are we doing? Well, he goes on to explain what they're doing. And the problem is, and I'm not going to take a whole lot of time with it this morning, but the problem is that they are trusting the ways of men. They are trusting the knowledge of good and evil instead of the Lord Jesus. And it's very convenient for us, because of our heritage, because Adam partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we have come, that's how our mind, our thought, our soul is cast. It is cast wanting to know how to do stuff. And to know, and to judge, and to, as I said a couple of weeks ago, to account for. You know, I said, and I'll enjoy it again because I think it's cute. The Lord said it, how difficult it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. Well, I've modified that to say how difficult it is for an accountant to get into the kingdom, to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because that's the way we are. We want to account for stuff. We want to say, okay, here's this and it goes here, and here's this and it goes here, and then it's down here, and wait, this isn't right here. It shouldn't be there. It should be over here. And I got rules to tell me all about that. And it's hard because that's the way we are wired that way. I remember as a young Christian, I just struggled with things. And I just dearly wanted the Lord. Lord, couldn't you please just show me? I want that starting place. Where is the little starting place that I can nail all my belief down to? I didn't realize it was the Lord himself. There's something in the Bible. Well, that's what the Galatians were doing. They were struggling. And they were surrounded by evil. They were surrounded by difficulties. And the Lord saved them wonderfully. And yet, They knew that there were things that they didn't understand and they struggled with. And the other thing that they struggle with, besides wanting rules, seeing the evil around them, they wanted somebody to lead them. And they didn't realize that the Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, will lead them. Other people came and they said, you know, for hundreds of years, 1,000 years perhaps, the Lord gave us the law. Now, I know that Jesus paid for our sins, but, you know, it really is a good idea to be circumcised. You know, just do that little thing that the Lord... Now, let me finish that statement. If you be circumcised, you'll show the Lord Jesus, you'll show the world that you're trusting in God. Because that's what Moses came up with. It wasn't just Moses, it was Abraham. Father Abraham. He who believed God and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness was circumcised. God gave him circumcision as a sign. God gave him circumcision as a sign, but also God gave him himself. And he trusted, he believed, he did it by faith, not by this is how it's going to be. This is going to help me control my environment. And so, the law is a terrible taskmaster because it's true. The law that of Moses, God gave the law unto a purpose. And there's a lot about in Galatians about that. Paul spends a great deal of time talking about it. And I'm not going to get to that today at all. Hopefully at some point, the Lord will give me enough light to be able to share on that. But the people had turned away from what Paul had told them, what Paul had shared with them. Now, we have a picture, we don't have a picture, we have a recording from from Luke in Acts. What was this gospel that they were abandoning? What was it that Paul shared with them? And Galatia is in Asia Minor. It's kind of in the central part, inland. It's not on the coast. And one of the first places, when he went on his first missionary journey, one of the first places that much is recorded about what he did and how he did it, they went out from Antioch. You know, they were deputized, he and Barnabas, and they went out with John, and they went to Cyprus, and there were things that went on there. But very shortly after that, it says, now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos, that's on Cyprus, and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And if you've got in your Bible, if you've got a little... a map of Paul's journeys, you can see all these places. Because, you know, this book is to the Galatians, but it's not, there's no church mentioned. Galatia is a province. And these communities, not Perga, but Pisidian Antioch, I'm not absolutely sure that's considered Galatia, but it's the doorstep of Galatia, if not. Pisidian Antioch, and later on he talks about, Iconium and Derbe and Lystra. These are the churches of Galatia. And he goes there and he's invited to speak. He's invited to share with the synagogue. And he tells them, he relates to them the story of what the Lord has done. Starting back in Egypt, God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. With an uplifted arm, he led them out from it. I'm sorry, this is Acts 13, and on down through 16 through 26, I guess. Actually, it goes all the way down to 41. But the point here, and I've got a lot more material here than I have time to share. Paul was sharing with them the history. What happened? How did we get here? What's the testimony of Jesus passing down from the children of Israel in Egypt? They went out into the desert and they came to the promised land and God drove out the people before them. This is the history. This is the testimony of Jesus. This testimony of God in his people. And so he tells them, comes down through Saul, they asked for a king, he raised up Samuel as a prophet, then they asked for a king, he gave them Saul, and then David, when Saul was put away, and then talks about the John the Baptist down in this is chapter 13 verse 25. John proclaimed his coming and the baptism of repentance to all the people in Israel. So Paul's laying this background that came up to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so he says, John absolutely declares, I am not he, but behold, one is coming after me the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, he's speaking to the Galatians now. These are Jews and they are also Gentiles. You who fear God, to us the word of this salvation is sent out. For those who live in Jerusalem and for their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets, which were read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him. He's laid it all out. That God desired, he had a plan, he had a purpose. He raised up the Lord Jesus and the Jews, his people, had to reject him and kill him. And then the good news. And we preach to you, this is verse 32, we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to Abraham and to our children, in that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. And as for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, and no more to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore, he also says in another psalm, Thou wilt not allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and is laid among his fathers and underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Take heed, therefore, that the things spoken in the prophets may not come upon you. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel, and perish, for I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you. Paul tells them the simple gospel that Jesus died for our sins and was raised incorruptible. That's it. That's the pure gospel. That's what he says at the beginning of Galatians, the grace of God to you in this evil, present evil age. And he warns them, both here and again, when I say here, in Acts 13, don't look upon this and scoff at it. Do not allow yourself, don't turn away. Believe as Abraham believed. Trust me, the Lord says. Because if you scoff at it, if you say, well, that can't be. I mean, I gotta do this by the law. I gotta do this by being a good guy. I gotta do this by working hard at it. Nothing No effort of man is acceptable. The effort of man cannot save us. That's what the gospel is about, and the gospel is telling us that we have a way. You can't do it. The law says you can't do it. What the result of the law is that you're going to fail. It's what the Jews discovered. Over and over and over again. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. The blood of animals was not going to cover it. It had to be the pure and holy sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God living in us. And so what they did, what Paul was warning them about, was turning away from that simple gospel that God raised up the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sins and to live within, that we might live with him, within him. Paul struggles with the Galatians because they turned away and they started to trust in other things. They started to listen to other people who were telling them things that, in many ways, it's similar to where believers are today. There's so many things there that say, you just do it this way. You got to do this. You got to do that. You'll stay out of trouble if, don't smoke and chew and don't run with girls that do. There's stuff that you can't get away from. Only the Lord can accomplish this. And if you turn your back on that, you're lost. What we sang several times in several different ways, the solid rock on which we stand, if all other ground is sinking sand. You try to do it by being good. You try to do it by attendance of church. You try to do it by all the different things that we try to do to help the Lord out, and it's just the hand of man. It will fail. All right. Lord, we do desire not to be. We need faith, Lord, to walk in the way that you would have us walk, that we would not trust in the ways of men, that we would not take these scriptures and try to make them into law, that we would see you, the Word, the living Word of God, and that we would walk with you, knowing that you can accomplish all things, no matter what the circumstances look like. You are with us. You have promised you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Lord, help us not to try to substitute medicine, doctors, money, discipline, scholarship. Lord, anything that stands in the way of your simple holy gospel, that Jesus Christ died for my sins and has been raised incorruptible. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you have done this. Lord, help us to hold on to that. Help us to see. Help us to know when we're being drawn into something that's not you. Lord, we do not want anything that is not of you, not from you, not because of your life within us. Help us, Lord. We praise your holy name. Amen.